Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, back on June 30th, the management of this criminal justice reform news network, this news website called The Appeal, and I'd spent time on there over the last year or so because, look, it's an important topic. They announced on the 30th that they were closing down. And, you know, like all non-corporate website and news outlets, it's always funding. The lack of funding is the death of non-corporate journalism, without question. But the workers there, when they got this news that, you know, their jobs are going to be gone, they're closing down The Appeal, because of their union contract, they got a, you know, reasonable severance pay. They're taking that severance, plowing it back into this news outlet, and relaunching The Appeal, which I think is incredible. And here's the other part of it. From what I understand, management said, you know what, fine. If you could make a go of it, great. We struggled, by all means. And now the Appeal Union is doing just that. And here to share some thoughts on how that is going, I've asked Nick Wing to come talk with us. Nick is the editor there at The Appeal, and with The Appeal Union. Nick, thanks for taking time for us.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
So how bad did I screw that up? Did I get the basic facts of that right?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, this is sort of an ongoing long saga. It took about almost 2 months for this to really reach a close. But yeah, we, you know, back in May, we announced that we were organizing due to some ongoing disagreements with management and the way things were running, which really kicked off this prolonged drama. And, you know, in the end, we reached a conclusion, which I don't think was the ideal outcome for anyone. We were able, as you said, to secure some severance, which gave us a nice runway to begin this new effort. You know, ultimately, the site has gone dark until we can relaunch. But, you know, as you said, because we unionized, we organized, we harnessed that collective power, and we were really able to bargain for a future. So yeah, that's where we're at right now.
Now, the work that you guys do there, I think, is really important. You're talking about, you know, the reforming our criminal justice system, which for people who are at the lower end of the socioeconomic scale, it ain't working well for. And I think the stories that you tell are important that people understand, which is why I think it's great that you guys are making a go of this, and why I think people should help support the work that you do. I'm a big fan of supporting non-corporate journalism at every opportunity where we can do that.
Yeah, we really appreciate that. Would it be helpful to give a quick sort of elevator pitch of what we do?
Go.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, yeah, nonprofit news organization, and we're really dedicated to exposing the human costs of the U.S. criminal legal system. We think that sort of differentiates us from some other people because, you know, many Americans have really been conditioned, I think, to view the legal system as this really essential force that exists to mete out justice and to keep us all safe, right? But seems like the closer you look at it, the clearer it becomes that the system's actually structured in ways that work against those goals. So not only might the criminal legal system like fail to keep people safe, but it's really perpetuating a lot of harm, contributing to like the cycles of trauma, this violence, poverty, instability, and all that serves to make us less safe. So you have a system that's fundamentally, you know, hurting its own goals. And as you said, you know, you look at how these laws are enforced, and it's just hard to see it as anything other than like a gigantic machine that is pretty much organized to criminalize and disadvantage disproportionately Black and Brown communities, but just people all across society. So, yeah.
Mostly poor people. And look, you know, as someone who grew up in a housing project, I saw people get involved in the system. And once you get in the system, you never seem to get out. It's just this vicious cycle of, you know, violating one term or another constantly, you know, and even, you know, ineptitude and errors too, that uproot people's lives. And, you know, you get picked up, you lost a job. You know, that contributes to more. I mean, the more I look at this, the more we do need real reform of our system. But also we do need to find out, you know, the stories that are involved in it, which is why I think the work that you guys do there is important. Now, you know, walk me through some of this stuff, though, because I think that most people that I know, as you said, think the criminal justice system is there to enforce the laws even-handedly. You know, the woman with the blindfold on and the scales. And they're looking at the stories that are coming out on Fox News and OAN and other places of, you know, the country's just riddled in crime. Crime's gone through the roof since Joe Biden became president. And it's all because those hippie liberals are talking about police reform. Help me explain why that's not the right narrative.
Yeah, I mean, you really nailed it. You know, I was going to say, if you've been following any mainstream media coverage, you might think that we're in the middle of a crime wave or something, probably more a crime, you know, Sharknado or something, the most alarmist thing you can think of. I think it is important to mention that some categories of crime have increased in recent years. But when you look at the most sensationalist of these stories, you know, they're not really giving you the whole picture. So you talk to cops, you talk to prosecutors, you talk to corporations. Maybe they're all talking about, you know, they're giving these dire warnings about crime and how we need to respond aggressively and start locking people up again. But of course, that's what those people want, right? I mean, they're not disinterested actors in the coverage, in the context of these stories. They benefit and in many cases are in charge of holding up the status quo as it exists right now. So not only that, but they have nothing to lose from returning to failed tough on crime policies. These are not the people who are going to be arrested. These are the people who benefit from, you know, really a police state, lockdown, throwing people in jail for shoplifting and all that. So, you know, when we cover crime and public safety at The Appeal, we really want to make sure that we're not basing our framing, we're not basing our narratives, we're not basing our reporting on speaking to those sources, the people at the top of the system, and certainly not those sources alone. And we really want to make sure that we're like talking to the grassroots organizers, the movement builders, the impacted communities, the policy experts, all the people who are actually closest to these problems, who know them, you know, best and who have the most at stake in them. We want to be talking to those people because those are the ones who are going to give you an honest picture. And we really think that anyone who's doing reporting and not talking to those people, it's a disservice. And, you know, in a lot of ways, it reflects an editorial choice that is going to drive mass incarceration, especially as we look at crime trends.
Well, I mean, that's also a political part of this as well. I go back to Bill Clinton, and we're going to put 100,000 more policemen on the streets. And I remember at the time going, is that a good thing? Do we really want, you know, constant policing? Are we not capable of making sure that we follow our own laws? And then we're told to be afraid of everyone. You know, murders are up and gun violence, but the gun's never the problem. But we're told, you know, around every corner is a boogeyman, and the only way that we're going to be safe is to do some of these really heavy-handed things, of which I'm not thrilled with.
Totally agree. I mean, if you let the people who have the most power already dictate, you know, the narrative and dictate the policy response, we're gonna repeat the mistakes of the past. So we just really think it's important to highlight what we see as, you know, the honest effects of a mass incarceration system that we have. If there's gonna be a debate around, you know, as you say, returning to stuff that happened in the 90s, if you talk only to cops and the prosecutors, they're not gonna give you the full portrait of what might happen when that goes down. So we think it's just a really important time to continue this sort of coverage, and we're hopeful that, you know, we can get off the ground as fast as we can, really, to get back to that work.
Yeah. Now, you know, anytime I talk to a policeman about anything like this, it's always the Willie Horton scenario. We let some violent offender out on bail, on parole, whatever, and they go and they do something really horrible. And we can't have that. We've got to keep people locked up forever and throw away the key and all those things. Walk me through a story that's the anti Willie Horton story, because I don't think people hear those stories at all. They don't hear it enough. They don't hear it at all. We hear the violent criminal who got out and did some bad things, but I gotta wonder if that's, and I'm hoping you're the expert here. I gotta hope that that's not the norm.
I feel a little bad boosting one of the few stories that I've done. There's so many good reporters here, but just because I'm closest to the material, I'll start there. I covered a prison in-reach program in California that was run by people who had themselves been sentenced to life in prison and had gotten out on parole, sometimes after decades in prison. And they go back into the prison and they teach, sort of life skills. They teach everything from peer counseling. They encourage people to really get to the core of why they were living a criminal lifestyle at the time that they went into prison. And just hearing people talk about the experiences that they had, the upbringing that they had that led to the situations. I mean, it's just a human story. I mean, the sense of we need to be scared of these people and these are all monsters in prison. It's ridiculous. And so many people get caught up in a system because we invest so much money into criminalizing them and punishing them and sending them to prison. Where if they had had positive influences in their life, they had had an after school program or something like that, you just get the sense that really we could have caught them before they went into prison in the first place. And it doesn't take talking to many people who have actually been affected by the criminal justice system to get that and to understand that. So, that's really the perspective we're coming at it from. We just think that the legal system just solving these problems with handcuffs in a jail cell, it's not good enough. And it's a bad return on our investment.
Yeah, but we tried that, Nick. We had midnight basketball for a while. Don't you? Well, no, you wouldn't remember. You're not old enough to remember that. But, during the H.W. Bush years, we had midnight basketball. That was supposed to solve all our problems.
Yeah, but basketball games, but, how much money is going into that versus how much, police we're paying the cops to patrol outside of the basketball game to then arrest people who, get into trouble.
So this is where a lot of this, I'm 100% with you, but there you get to this point where now we're talking about rapists and murderers. Clearly there's got to be a system in place that we remove those elements who can't be part of society, and we do have to have places for them. So for me, while the system does need reforming, I'm nowhere near that we need to chuck the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is that we're so far away from a well-functioning system that, we're happy to have debates about the scope of change that needs to happen. I think fundamentally the equation that we're looking at is so deeply flawed. I don't disagree that there are probably people who should not be free in society because of things that they have done or mental illnesses that make it impossible for them to function without some sort of supervision. But certainly throwing them all away and locking, throwing them away and lock them up, throwing away the key, that's just, it happens to way too many people. And it's sort of gotten us to where we are, which is, lots of people who are just excluded from society in one way or another.
Yeah, it's a lot that has to be done, and I'm wishing you guys the best. I think the work that you do is important. I hope people will take a look at the Appeal website once you guys get up and running, and follow you on Twitter at the Appeal Union. We'll get links out on social media how folks can do that. Now, I want to spend this last couple of minutes going, how can we help you? Obviously, I want one of those cool T-shirts. What's that cost us to get? Walk me through.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at some merchandising options. The Appeal Union shirts, we'll have to get another batch if we got a bunch of people interested. The best thing you can do, honestly, follow us on the Appeal Union, as you said, on Twitter. Click on theappeal.org. We have a bunch of stories that we've published over the last couple of years. A pop-up will show up when you go there. There'll be a link to our fundraising campaign. kicking, you know, $5, $10, it really makes all the difference. There's a lot of work we have to do to get up and running. It's not cheap to do this. We're all sort of volunteering our time right now until we have an entity through which we can, you know, or get the money and pay ourselves. That we don't know exactly when that's going to be, but we hope to be publishing sometime this fall. So for the meantime, we're reorganizing, we're refocusing, and read some of what we've done in the past. Hopefully that'll prove to you that we deserve to remain in the business. Kick in a few bucks, that will really help out, and we hope to be serving people, you know, as soon as we possibly can.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of worker-centric businesses, worker-owned businesses, because I think you get closer to like a true mission, a true vision. And the work that you're doing, you know, clearly a passion of love and caring. And I hope folks will most certainly help donate, throw in a couple bucks. I generally don't like making the pleas for money, but this is a good cause. We'll get links out on social media on folks can take a look at that. But Nick, I appreciate the time, the work that you guys do there. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Good stuff. Again, make sure we're going to get some links out on social media on how you can take a look at the appeals website. I think it's theappeal.org. We'll get links out on how you can take a look at that. But for me, I mean, the sad reality is we live in this weird world where we have a legal system that is really, punished the poor. I mean, I grew up in an area where the only time you saw a policeman, they were cracking heads. And I now live in a neighborhood where they come around and hand out glow sticks. They're you know, officer friendly. What I want is I want officer friendly in every neighborhood, because I'm not on the defund the police and do away with the police bandwagon. But we do need more responsive police presence, and we need a judicial system that's not going to be punitive. It's not about punishment as much for me as it's about helping people. You know, I've had a lot of friends who've had problems legally. And because someone cared, because someone gave them a helping hand, they were able to straighten their lives out. And ultimately, that's where I want to be. Now, granted, you know, murderers, rapists, whole nother ball of wax. I'd love to hear your thoughts, though. You can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Do share your stories, your thoughts, your comments. Going to take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.